Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, Romans 12, 3. And I'm just going to jump right in, and I'm going to let you know what we're preaching about, and then go through with this message, and that way you know the direction that we're going. Our theme for the month of October, our emphasis is missions. And this morning, I'm going to preach to you about how are we going to finance reaching the world with the gospel. How does that happen? How can a missionary leave America, go across to some other country where he's not allowed to make an income or work a job? And how can that happen? Actually, there's a Bible pattern for it. And at our church, we call it Faith Promise Missions. You may have heard it called Grace Giving before. And that it's the very same thing. But I'm gonna introduce this to you. I want to teach it to you this morning. You may have heard it before. It'll be a great reminder for you. Next Sunday morning, we're going to be hearing, and actually through their missions conference, we're going to be hearing from Dr. Lou Baldwin. I'm excited about hearing him preach for us. He's a man with much more experience in the ministry than I have, and he's seen a lot of missionaries supported and a lot of churches started. I'm excited to have him as part of our missions conference. He's our special speaker for us. And I'm thrilled that he's going to be here with us. Also, a missionary to Germany and his family will be here with us. A missionary going to, and his wife and daughter going to Cambodia will be here with us. A missionary going to Africa will be here with us. Our missions conference is next Sunday. It's our Sunday morning next week. We'll have a special service Sunday night next week, kind of like we always have. A Sunday night, don't raise your hand, but did you know we had a Sunday night service? I'd like to invite you to come to that. All right, 5:30 every Sunday night. And listen, just so you understand this, and I feel like it's okay. I'm not chewing you out or anything. I'm just saying, in our culture, you need to know that it's a different sermon on Sunday morning than on Sunday night. It's not just the same thing over again. It's not just another service. But I'd like to encourage you to come to that. Next Sunday, we'll have Sunday morning, then Sunday night. And then we're also having two special services, a Monday night service and a Tuesday night service, where Dr. Baldwin will be preaching for us. This will be something you don't want to miss. It's going to be helpful, preaching from the Word of God. It will challenge you, be convicting, and then we'll finish up with a Wednesday night service. I was 10 years old when I went to a missions conference, and God called me to preach at a missions conference as a 10-year-old boy. I think these are powerful times. It's like a revival service for our church, and I'm so excited about it. But that's what's going on over this next week. During that missions conference time on that Wednesday, and then again on the Sunday following, we're going to do what we call a faith promise commitment as a church. That's where, as a church, we make a commitment to support missions for a certain amount of money. And each one of the families here, each person here, I'm going to ask you, and that's what this message is about, so I'll explain it, but I told you I'm going to tell you what I'm preaching, and I'm going to preach it to you. I'm going to ask you to pray about how God would have you to give to missions over the next year. We call it Faith Promise Missions, Faith Promise Giving. I'll explain it this morning. The whole missions conference is not about raising money for missionaries. But part of our missions conference is making a commitment as a church on how many missionaries we'll be able to support this next year. We don't give to a convention that sends our money out to the missionaries that they choose. We're an independent Baptist church, so we give directly to the missionaries that we support. On the back wall there, there's most of the missionaries that we support have letters that they've sent us an update, and those are the missionaries that we support. Every bit of the money that comes in for missions goes to missionaries. There's no overhead. We don't take part of it for shipping and handling or whatever you would call it, running any kind of an organization. All of the money that we give towards missions in our church goes to missionaries. Okay, with that said, turn to Romans chapter 12, if you would. And I want to teach you this concept, this biblical idea of faith promise missions. You may have heard this before, but if you've never heard it, it's going to be a challenge for you. I believe it's going to be right from the Word of God. I think it'll be helpful for you. How is it that we can send people around the world and they can preach the gospel to other people? And how practically does that work? How do they get their support? Where do they get the money that they need to live and run their ministry? Well, that's what this message is about. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3 is where we're going to start this morning. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, the last measure of faith, there's a lot more that we could preach out of that verse about being humble and living by grace, things like that, to be sober. There's a lot more that we could preach out of that verse about being humble and living by grace, things like that, to be sober. But the part I want you to get this morning is the fact that God has given every man a measure of faith. And if you can understand that basic idea, it's going to help you as we go forward. First of all, we're going to preach about faith. The first part of this message has really nothing to do with missions, but it's about faith. Then we're going to add missions to it, and you'll see how it just works together so well. We all accept many things by faith. All right, let me give you some examples. We sat down in a church pew this morning with faith that it would hold us. Most of us didn't look underneath and check the legs. Some of you may have because you've been at our church for a while. But most of us, you didn't check underneath. You didn't shake the pew to make sure it was going to hold you. Most of us, we found a place. It looked nice. We sat down by faith. We had faith that it was going to hold us. If we believe in creation, we must believe it by faith because you can't prove it. In fact, if you believe in evolution, you've got to believe that by faith because you can't prove that either. So we do a lot by faith. The only way to answer the three most important questions in life is by faith. What would those three most important questions be? I think you may have different, more important questions, like what's for lunch, maybe. That's not one of them in my list right here. But these three important questions. How about this? Where did I come from? It's an important question. One of the most important questions in life. What is my purpose? Why am I here? That's a question that can only be answered by faith. And where am I going when I die? I believe the three most important questions, where did I come from, why am I here, where am I going when I die? And the only way to answer those three questions is by faith. And God designed it that way. That's the way God made it. He could have recorded creation on a DVD or VHS or, I don't know, I'm trying to go back further than that, but I can't think any further back than that. He could have, ViewMaster, click, 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 click. How many of you remember those little red? God could have recorded creation on something so that we could see it and believe it, but he didn't do that. In fact, the Bible just says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he doesn't try to argue for it. He tells us the details, but he just states it as a fact. He could force us to live our lives to please him, but he doesn't. If God forced us to live our lives to please him, maybe we would please him, but that wouldn't be love. Love is when I have the choice and I serve somebody or I do something for somebody by choice. In fact, love is giving of myself without any thought for what I'm going to get in return. If God made it so I had to please him, then I wouldn't have the choice. But God didn't do it that way. He could take us for a few moments to either heaven or hell and show us where we're going when we die, but he doesn't. It's faith. So the answer to the question, where did I come from? God could have showed us that, but he chose not to. He chose us to believe it by faith. He could make us live our lives to please him, but he's chosen not to. And the answer to that question, what is my purpose? I've got to come to that answer by faith. Where am I going when I die? Again, faith. But that's the way God wants it because of Romans 14:23. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So God says, I want you to live your life by faith. We interpret the world we live in by faith, where we came from, where everything else came from. We live our life by faith, why we're here. We determine our eternity by faith, where we're going. And so this is all by faith. So why should we try to reach the world with the gospel without faith? You see where I'm going now, I hope. Our life is built on faith. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it wasn't based on how good you are that's going to get you to heaven. You know that. It's about trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and having faith that God came to this earth and he died on the cross. He paid the price for your sins. That's faith. And we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior by faith. We believe we're going to heaven by faith. So why would we try to reach the world with the gospel any other way? God's plan is by faith. Let me just be logical with you for a couple minutes, right? This is God's world. You know that. Everything and everyone belong to God. And whether you agree with me on that or not, but just go with me here for a moment. I believe that everything in this world does belong to God. As the creator, he's owner. It belongs to him. God wants the entire world reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every person in this world was bought with a price. Every person in here today, and every person, we've got a big map in the back of the auditorium there. That is a big world. We're talking a lot of people. 25,000 miles or so around. This is a big, big place. But here's what you need to realize. Every single person who's ever lived, every single person who ever will live, has had their sins paid for. Jesus came to this earth, he died on the cross, and he paid the price for you, for me. But not just for us, not just for Americans, but for every person that is alive and every person that will live on the face of this earth. The price has been paid for every person on this earth. And God's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance. This is God's world. Everything belongs to him. He paid the price for our sin when he died on the cross. He wants everybody to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And according to John 3:16, Jesus died for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, we're not talking about just the physical earth. We're talking about the world, the people that make up this world. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves every person in this world so much that he sent Jesus. Jesus came, died on the cross, paid the price for our sins so that they could go to heaven instead of having to die and go to hell. That's the plan of salvation. That's God's plan. And then, to go further, God commanded us to reach everybody. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, we've got the Great Commission. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus said, look, I died on the cross. I paid the price for everybody's sin. Now I want you to go tell them. Go tell them their sins have been paid for. Go tell them they can have forgiveness. And go tell them they can have eternal life if they would trust me, Jesus said, as their Savior. The world is God's and he wants it reached with the gospel. So if the world is God's, if the world is God's, and he wants it reached with the gospel, which he provided for completely without any help from us, I didn't do anything to help with the gospel. You didn't do anything to help with the gospel. He provided everything for the gospel. So it's God's world. God wants his world reached with the gospel. He provided the way to reach the world with the gospel. Doesn't it make sense that he would be more than willing to supply the money necessary for the cost of reaching the world? Doesn't that just make sense? It's his world. He loves the people. He wants it reached. He loves everybody so much he already sent his own son, Jesus Christ, out on the cross. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He's already given so much. Wouldn't it just make sense that he would provide a way to do it? It does. It does. So whenever we start preaching about giving towards missions, don't get nervous about it. Don't kind of... When the preacher starts talking about money, I know what happens. There's these invisible shields. You think they're invisible, but they're not. Because we've got this thing right here that makes invisible shields turn visible, and I can see them. No, not really. But wouldn't that be awful? Oh, that'd be terrible. That's like writing your thoughts up on this. No, let's don't even go there. So the idea is we're scared when the preacher starts talking about giving. And I don't want you to worry. We don't preach about finances and giving a whole lot. We probably should more. We can get more accomplished with the gospel. Maybe do more with the gospel. We don't a whole lot. But this morning I am. But I don't want you worried about it. I don't want you thinking, oh no, he's preaching about money. This is God's world. He wants to reach with his gospel. He's going to provide his money to do it. So let's go on and we preach about faith, promise, missions. Go to 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I'm jumping around. Go to Philippians chapter 4 if you would. Philippians chapter 4, just one verse. You probably know this verse already. You may have memorized it at some point. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is speaking to the church in Philippi about how they were supporting him as a missionary. They had taken up offerings. And they had supported Paul, and they'd helped him. They'd sent money to him and helped him to be able to pay some of his bills so that he could preach the gospel and travel to these countries and tell people about Jesus. In Philippians 4:19, he says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." This is an amazing thought. Paul said, thank you for supporting me. And you need to, chapter 4 is not just an encouragement chapter. Philippians 4:23, I love it. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But the rest of the chapter, he's talking about how that church has supported him and cared for his needs as he was preaching the gospel. And then he says to that church, "Listen, my God shall supply all your need." And then he says this, "According to his riches." God wants to reach this world with the gospel. He's provided the way to do it. He's provided the gospel. And now we see that God has these riches that he wants to use to supply all our need. He taught them God would supply their need. He taught them God would supply all of their need based on his riches. Now, it's not based on my poverty. It's based on his riches. It's not even really based on the need. It's based on his riches. What are his riches? Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but he paves his streets with gold. Not something we need to worry about. He's got the riches. He can take care of the getting the missionaries there. He can take care of providing the money. We just got to follow his plan. That's what this message is about. What riches does God have? We can't imagine them. But he gave us a small peek. He paves his streets with gold. He builds his walls with the most precious stones that we know of. And then I can't even say right. He makes his gates out of massive pearls. What a thought. When you're talking about God's riches, and these are just some silly things. God probably, when we talk about riches, we talk about gold and pearls and precious stones. He's probably thinking, you guys don't even get it. That's the stuff I don't even care about. But that's what we look at. We say, whoa, God's rich. But think about his riches. God is more than capable of supporting the work to get the gospel around the world. And he's more than willing to bless us to give above what we have ourselves to give. I want to say that again because I'm not sure if you got that. He's more than capable. Actually, I'm going to have to look at it again or else I'm going to get twisted up. God's more than capable. I'm going to look at it again here. Of supporting the work to get the gospel around the world. And he's more than willing to bless us to give above what we have ourselves to give. God can provide more for me so that I have more to give. God could provide more to you so that you have more to give. He's capable of doing that. We talk about the cattle on 1,000 hills, and God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm not a rancher. That doesn't mean a whole lot to me. I know a cow is probably worth a lot of money, and there's probably more than one cow on a hill. But if you've got 1,000 hills full of cows, and each cow is worth a lot of money, I think that's the idea here. God's not worried about having the money to be able to supply the needs for missions. God's plan for supporting missions around the world is through faith promised missions. That's what we call it. Some people call it grace giving. So God's plan is not sight promise. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about what it's not. It's not, God's plan isn't for us to make a commitment to give to missions based on what we think we can afford. It's not me looking at my budget and looking at what I make and thinking, okay, God, I think this is what I can give to missions because this is what I can afford. If I stop going to Starbucks maybe once a month instead of however many times I'm going a month, and this is what I can afford, God. So that would be, I think, sight missions, sight giving. Instead of faith promise missions, which it says, and let me just describe that, is God, I'm going to give because I believe this is what you want me to do. God, I'm going to give this amount to missions. I'm just going to trust you to provide it for me so that I can give. Sight promise would be, God, this is what I'm going to give based on what I have to give. Giving to missions based on your budget. God's plan is not sacrifice promise. That's you make a commitment to give and then sacrifice in order to be able to save the money to give. His plan's bigger than that. God provides for our needs. Yes, God does want us to sacrifice. God does want us to live carefully and be careful with our money. He doesn't want us to waste all of our money. But what God's talking about doing, reaching the world with the gospel, is going to cost more than just me not getting a pizza and a couple Starbucks a month. It's bigger than that. So it's got to be, and think about this. When we're talking about God working, it is bigger than that. We're talking about the God that says, Lazarus, come forth, and a dead guy comes walking out of a grave. We're talking big things. We're talking about the God that people were hungry, 5,000 men, not including women and children. And he said, make the men sit down. And he took five loaves and two fish or something like that. I think I get those turned around sometimes. He took some bread and some fish and he fed 5,000 men, not including the women and children. It was huge. We're not just talking about sacrificing a little here, a little there. We're not just talking about getting the change out of what falls out of the laundry and giving that to missions and that people would give. Oh, that's not a bad thing. I mean, use the change for that. But we're talking bigger than that. It's not just sacrifice promise. God's plan is faith promise. That's making a commitment based on God directing the amount you should give and then giving it and trusting him to consistently supply it. Let me say that again. I just want you to get this. I'm trying to teach more than I am preach this morning, really. I'm not trying to motivate so much. I'm trying to help you get it. Because if you get it, I don't need to motivate you. You just do it because you know it's right. Okay, so let me read that to you again. Making a commitment based on God directing the amount you should give and then giving it and trusting him to consistently supply it. That's how we ought to live all of our life, really. It's God, show me what to do and I will do it. It's really that simple. If I'm talking about missions and giving to support missionaries, it would be this. God, would you show me what you want me to give to missions? And whatever you want me to give to missions, I'll give. Just because that's what you want me to do. It's not that foreign. It's just we're talking about money. So we're like, right? So what about this? God, tell me what you want me to do with my life and I'll do it. We all, I think, would agree that that's the right thing to do. Say, God, maybe you have a checkbook and take that checkbook out and say, God, this checkbook represents my life. I'm going to sign it on the bottom and you just go ahead and fill it out. Whatever you want me to do with my life, God, that's what I'll do. And most of us would preach that and say, this is the will of God. Do that with your life or where I'm going to go. We moved here. It was in 2003. We moved here. And basically it was that. God, just show us where to go. We want to serve you. I want to be a pastor if you'll have me. And just, God, where do you want me to go? And we looked at different places. We looked at Henderson, Nevada. We looked at some place in Texas and just different places. And God brought us here. It was just this. It was, God, show me where you want me to go. We'll go there. This is no different. This is, God, would you show me how you want me to give towards missions? And I'll just do that. You know, with even praying, I preach enough to this side. Let's go over here for a minute. With praying. Think about this. God knows what we need. This is not a message on prayer, but this will help you. God knows what I need. If I go to God and say, God, you already know my needs. Would you just show me how you want me to pray? If God would lead me to ask for the things that he knows that I already need, he's going to answer them. I mean, think about it. He tells me, you need to pray for this because this is what I know you need. And then I pray for what he just told me to pray for. Yeah, he's going to answer that because that's what he told me to ask for. It's asking according to his will. Faith promise missions is, God, I know there's a need. On my own, I can't supply the need. I can't support missionaries on my own. Look at my budget. I mean, really, look at your budget. We probably can't afford to support missionaries. God, this is where we're at. You know the need. God, everything in this world belongs to you. You want to reach the world with the gospel. You've already sent your son Jesus to die on the cross. You're going to do it according to your riches and glory. So would you tell me how much you want me to give and then just provide that much for me to give? That's what faith promise missions is. Let me say it this way. It's me saying, God, everything that you give me for faith promise missions, I'll give to the missionary. And just trusting him to do it. The thing is this. If we waited for him to give it to us before we gave it, that wouldn't be faith, would it? Whatsoever is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. So for some reason, God chooses to have us live this life of faith. Go to 2 Corinthians, if you would. Chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, they're about Christians giving to missions. Now, we're not going to read all of those chapters, but I'm going to read a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about how to give towards missionaries. And it's not just giving, but it's specifically giving to missions. And Paul used the churches in Macedonia, that's this area that he's writing to, as an example to the church in Corinth. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says this, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, the word wit means know, we want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Okay, there's a lot to explain right there, but we'll get to that in just a moment. These are poor people. But because they decided to give by faith, they were able to give an amazing amount. For to their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, the Bible says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The grace of God enabled them to give. Grace is something that God does in our lives that allows us to go beyond ourselves. God did a work in the lives of these Christians in Macedonia, and they were able to give even greater than they were able to, beyond their ability. Deep poverty means they didn't have resources to give, but they had an abundance of joy. They were willing to give beyond what they had. And God wants us to exercise faith, not finances, in reaching the world with the gospel. What are we going to exercise? We exercise our finances or exercise our faith? And I want to challenge you. My finances are nothing compared to God's finances. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be the wealthiest person in this city, and your finances are nothing compared to God's finances. God wants to do something greater than we could do on our own. So instead of trying to exercise our finances we ought to use our money wisely, but that's not really what we're talking about right now. Let's go beyond that and say, God, I want to exercise my faith. It kind of gets exciting when you think about this, because God doesn't just want us to use our finances to reach the world with the gospel. He wants us to use His finances to reach the world with the gospel. And there's so much more that I could do with His finances than with my finances. This is God's world. God wants to save the world. And God is more willing to finance His work if we exercise faith to let Him give it through us. When God sees someone, now we're going to make it practical, who's a good steward of what He's given to him, He's more than willing to give him more so that he can continue to be a good steward and more can be given. When God looks at a Christian and sees someone, that when he blesses them and directs them, this may have happened to you, but when God puts on your heart, hey, do something for that person. Take some of the money that I've blessed you with and help that person out. We've had people do that to us. We've had people who've God has put on their heart to slip a $20 bill into our hand. It was the first week we were knocking on doors in Albuquerque when we first moved here. My wife was very much expecting. She was like Mary, great with child. And we were here, and we were knocking on some doors, inviting people to church. One of the first doors we knocked on, the lady opened the door, and she was so friendly. And here's what she did. She said, wait, don't go anywhere. She ran. Actually, we walked away. She came back and caught us walking down the sidewalk with a fresh baked loaf of banana bread and $20 bill. And her statement was something like, God just put on my heart to give this to you. That's what I'm talking about. When you can be that kind of person and God can trust you with the $20 and God sees that, yeah, I gave them that $20, they used it for my work, He can trust you with more because you've proven to be a good steward. I got to stop walking away because then I got to find out where I was whenever I left off here. It's God's message. It's God's faith. It's God's money. Let me read you some verses to help you understand that. We know the message is the gospel. We know that's God's message. But what about faith? Romans 12:3, the Bible says, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We read that. Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This faith that saves us isn't even our own faith. The faith that we're going to use to reach with the gospel is God's supplying the faith for us. It's God's message, it's God's faith, and it's God's money. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Luke 6:38 explains it this way, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God says, listen, you give what I give you to give, and I will give you more so that you can give more. It's His money. It's His finances. Really, what do I own that I could say this is completely mine and it's not God's? Nothing. There's nothing that I have in this life that I can say, God, keep your hands off of it. This is mine. Everything that I have is His. So if God says, I want you to give this amount, I want you to give $100 towards missions this month, or I want you to give $500 towards missions this month, whatever it is, and God says, this is what I want you to give. Not everybody in here, but Dave Reyes is what I want you to give. And I can say, okay, God, I'll give that. It's His money. I don't have to worry about how it's going to happen. I'm just going to trust Him that it is. God's plan for reaching the world with the gospel is for us to send missionaries carrying His message, paid for with His money, given through His people with the faith that God provided. Now, I want you to think about those steps. We're almost done. God's plan for reaching the world, to send missionaries. First of all, we need missionaries. I'd love if God would work in some people's hearts in our church and say, I want to be a missionary. God's working in my heart to be a missionary. We need missionaries. We need missionaries that'll carry His message. And then we need His money, of course, but the way He's going to put His money into the missionaries' pockets is going to be through His people. Kind of like God blesses you. Generally, when God does something that we need extra in the area of finances, He uses a person to do it. He puts on somebody's heart to do something that we need or something that you need. How about being that person that God uses? That's what we're talking about. The person that says, God, I want to be used. And God says, here, take this money and put it into missions. That's an exciting thing to be. The person that God gives His money to so that I can give it towards missions. Given through His people with the faith that God provided. It's a great plan. And here's what's great. It's all on God to provide. I don't have to provide for missions. God provides for missions. He wants to provide. He can provide. And He will provide. But God will only provide through people who are willing to give by faith. Because Romans 14:23 says, if it is not of faith, it's sin. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. I want to please God. And so when God says, I want you to give to missions by faith, I'm okay with that. I'll say, okay, God, how much do you want me to give? And just do that. See, faith promise is not a matter of finances. It's a matter of faith. Do you have faith to allow God to tell you how much to give to missions? Some of you are here this morning, you're like, I barely had faith to come to church this morning. You're way past me here. Well, hold on just for a minute. My goal in preaching this message is to help, first of all, help you to realize I can do that. I can do that. This is God's plan. I can do that. Second, to realize people really do that. And then realize I can do that. I can do, God, would you grow my faith so that I can give towards reaching somebody with the gospel? Think about this. We've been talking about missions kind of in this big generic thing. One of the reasons for having a missions conference is you can put a face to the word missionary, and then you can put faces to the people that they're reaching with the gospel, and you can realize every person that they share the gospel with is a real live human being that's either a real live child or a real live adult, and it's a real live person that's going to one day spend eternity someplace in heaven or hell. These are real people we're talking about, and you can make a difference and have a part in reaching those people with the gospel forever. Do you have faith to God to allow God to tell you how much to give to missions? This is a tough one. Faith to say, God, whatever you put on my heart to give is what I'll give, and I'll just obey. God, you just show me, and I will do what you want me to do. Do you have faith to give that amount? Do you have faith to trust that God's going to bless you for your faith? Now, most of us, you're going to be like, man, I hope He never calls on me to raise my hand, because no, I don't. I'm just going to be honest with you, Pastor, I don't. I don't have the faith to say, God, whatever you tell me to give, I'll give. Because what if He says for me to give everything? What if He tells me to give more than I have? Well, I'm going to challenge you with this in a minute, but I'll show you how to start. Faith is something that grows. It's something that starts small, and it grows. And if you will let God build your faith, missions is a great way to let God build your faith, just a little bit at a time. I remember as a kid just giving, I don't remember what coin it was. It was one of the coins. It was every week I was giving a coin to missions. And God blessed me in that I was able to start growing faith as a little guy and able to, as a little bit older, give paper money to missions every week. And then it just kept growing. But it's something that grows a little bit at a time. So stick with me here. If you don't have that faith, if the answer is yes, first of all, great. Do that. Ask God, God, what would you have me to give? Give that amount and just do it by faith and watch as missionaries are supported and God uses you as a channel to support them. But if the answer is no, if I say, do you have the faith to ask God to show you what to give? Do you have the faith to actually give what He tells you to give? If the answer is no, that's okay. That's okay. Start small and let God grow your faith. You know, you're going to grow as a Christian. You're going to grow in your Christian life when you let God grow your faith towards giving to missions, just a little at a time. It may be something like, God, this sounds off the wall crazy to me, what the pastor's talking about. But I'd like to see you work by faith. I'd like to have a part in reaching the world with the gospel by faith. So God, if you'd give me an amount to give, maybe a small amount, I can do that. There's so many promises in the Bible. This message is not about this. There's so many promises about if you will give, God will bless you greater than you gave. That's not what this is about. This is more about the faith to give. If you just gave to missions because you knew God was going to give you back more, that's really not the goal here. The goal is, I want to strengthen your faith. What if you were to say, God, I've never given to missions before. I know that I need to. I'm supposed to reach the world with the gospel. I'm supposed to be part of that. Jesus said to take the gospel to everybody and to reach everybody. I know I'm supposed to do something, but my faith is small. God, what about this amount? Let me give you an example. As a young person, maybe saying $5, $10. My son did that some time back. Made a commitment to give an amount that I thought, there's no way that's going to happen. You ever been there? I mean, my faith, okay, but my son's faith, I'm thinking, I don't know if that's a good idea. I just don't know the wisdom of that. But he made the commitment. He felt like this is what God wants me to do, so I'm going to do it. And he gave this particular amount, and he committed to it. And over time, it's been amazing how I, as a dad, have been able to watch and see how God has provided for that. In our family, as a family, we'll make a commitment. Every year, we've made a commitment to give towards missions. And sometimes it's made sense. Sometimes it hasn't. And it's just one of those, God, well, if you just provide, we're just going to trust you. And he has. And we can have people come up, maybe during missions conference we will, and share testimonies of whenever I made a commitment and I just gave what God put on my heart to give, and I just promised him I would. And I just gave that. And God provided. And God provided more than I gave. Faith, promise, giving, build your faith. If you don't have faith now, begin to give by faith and allow God to grow your faith. Think about this. In 10 years, I did that backwards. In 10 years, right? Picture with me 10 years this way. In 10 years, wouldn't it be awesome if you'd started growing your faith in 2016 and it grows a little bit more each year and a little bit more and a little bit more. And 10 years from now, you could look back and say, my faith is so much greater because I started way back then, even though I started small. And I allowed God to just build my faith. Father, thank you for letting us take some time this morning and preach about faith promise missions. For some people, this is a totally new concept, something they may have never heard of before. This is something I grew up with. And I've seen as people have supported missions through what I believe is your plan by giving by faith. I've seen how you've supported missionaries and you've provided the amounts to give, and you've even blessed people beyond what they gave, as you promised to do. Lord, I pray that our people would consider this. I pray that their hearts would be open to giving towards missions what you would have them to give towards missions. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just approach our missions conference week with the idea of I'll give this little amount, I'll give this particular amount, but to approach it with, God, I'll give whatever you want me to give. Lord, we know it's your world and we know you want to reach it. And we know that you have the riches and you're able to provide. So Lord, I pray simply that you would give us a desire to be used by you. You would allow us just to let you work through us, to support missionaries through us. And Lord, I pray that you'd increase our faith. Maybe somebody's never given this way before. They've never given to you by faith. Lord, I pray that you would put on their heart an amount that would grow their faith. And maybe something to just help them to get started in giving towards missions. And they would see their faith grow. And they'd realize that you really do bless this. Lord, ultimately, I pray that souls would be saved. People all over this world are dying and going to hell because they've never heard about Jesus Christ dying on the cross and paying the price for their sins. And Lord, I believe that through us sending people around the world to tell them, these people will be saved. So I pray that you'd use us to be a part in people getting saved.